Good morning. My name is John Gross with Sensible Technologies, also known as Hydronic Specialties Company. And today we have the honor of having HTP's CEO, Dave Davis, join us and do the presentation. I would ask everyone to remain muted during the presentation. This is being recorded. And during the presentation, if you do have questions, we want to hear from you, but via chat. And then at the end, we'll open it up to answering the questions. This allows Dave to go through the presentation. And take it away, Dave.
Hey, thank you, John. John's Gross and HSC have been a longtime customer. I've known John for, God, John, I don't know how many years. It's been, what, 20, 30 years that it's we've known each other?
At least 25.
At least 25 years. And I've been in this business all my life. So it's been very interesting, and obviously it's been very challenging for us at HTP in this COVID-19 environment. We are still manufacturing, just to kind of give everybody an update. We're still manufacturing our products. We have two shifts, and I was mentioning earlier that we had an incident with the second shift and we had to lay the second shift off, but we've continued to operate. Our business right now is anywhere from around 20 to 30% down. So I think we're pretty lucky. We've seen that, you know, throughout the country, there's been challenges in various areas. And Greg and I were having just a little chat previous to my discussion today. But, you know, it sounds like you guys are still in a shutdown like we are here in Massachusetts. And we're seeing, hopefully, you know, mid-May, we're going to start seeing that they're going to allow projects to open up and the economy to slowly but surely open up. I think we're all hopeful that that occurs. As long as it's safe and people are safe in doing their work, I don't see any problem with that. So let me give you an idea about HTP and just kind of go over HTP. Back in 2017, HTP, my company, partnered up with Ariston Thermal, which is a global leader in thermal comfort solutions. I've known Ariston for years. They're an Italian-based family company, privately owned. They're about a $2 billion to $3 billion global company. They have manufacturing facilities all over the globe, China, India, you name it. And the alignment was really, I've known these guys for 9 years, and it came to a point in my life that I've been doing this ever since I was a kid. You know, we started the company in 1974 with my father, and I've been doing this, you know, ever since. And I saw it as an opportunity to start expanding our opportunities by working with a global player. I saw that the competitiveness of our marketplace was getting more and more competitive, and we needed to leverage our position long term and with a global leader in both boilers, space heating, and water heating, and that's what Ariston really, you know, is known for. They make mini tanks, instantaneous. Their production facility, just to kind of give you an eye globally, what they do. Their facility, one of their manufacturing facilities on residential boilers produces about 4,000 boilers a shift. So they're a very, very large company that has a lot of R&D capability. They're working and they're already in the midst of designing and moving forward with heat pump solutions. That's going to be the next step. You know, condensing takes us pretty much to the highest level we can go from a combustion standpoint and an efficiency standpoint. The next step is definitely going to be heat pumps, whether it's going to be gas absorption, which is the direction it looks like it's going to be heading in Europe, or electric. We're seeing those type of innovations in the hydronic business occur in Europe. And normally we're about 5 years behind. But with Ariston, it's going to give us a little kickstart to kind of see what they're doing, introduce the products that they have here in the States and move forward, especially with emissions and other standards that are occurring and forcing industries to change very quickly. So there is a lot of things that are going on in our industry from a standpoint of efficiencies, emissions, and other things that are going to continue changing the space that we work in. And it's important that you guys stay keep updated on what these changes are, because in different states, they have different rebate programs. Just to give you an idea, Massachusetts high-efficiency boilers, a residential high-efficiency boiler, has a rebate of $2,000 per boiler. So it's very, very significant. And we push ECM technology here, variable speed, ECM pumps. So you can basically buy a high-efficiency pump at a lower cost than you can buy a standard AC pump, single speed, in the state of Massachusetts now. So we're going to see more and more programs like this as we move on. So just getting into HDP, again, and Ariston Thermal, family-owned business, founded in 1930. Their headquarters, they've got about 8,000 employees, offices in 42 countries. As I indicated, global leader in manufacturing of water heaters and space heaters. These are just some of the companies that they represent. They make burners, they make thermostats, they make elements, they make boilers, they make water heaters, they make instantaneous, you name it, they build it. And they're representative in pretty much all over the globe. So the subject we're going to talk about today is our commercial boiler, our ELX. We've had this out for over a year. It's going on a second year. And this boiler came about by really the core value of the product line, which is the heat exchanger, which I'm going to go through in this presentation. But we have two areas on the commercial side, condensing boilers, that we are utilizing the ELX, and that's both as a hydronic boiler and also, as you see in the right-hand corner with the blue symbol, what we call our VWH, or hot water supply boiler, where you can take the same boiler and hook it up to a large storage tank, 2,000 gallon, 200 gallon, whatever the needs are, to produce very large amounts of domestic hot water. You can also cascade these, so you can get very large turn down, really good balance with the load of what the building is on domestic loads, and even on the hydronic side when you get into outdoor reset and injection systems. So just kind of going over some of the key features of the ELX. It's a four-pass heat exchanger. I've been in this business all my life, and everything starts and it stops, as far as I'm concerned, with the heat exchanger, which is the heart of the unit. It is the most important part. It really establishes how much efficiency you're going to get, the materials that you select, the way the geometry of the heat exchanger is built, and how you maneuver the water from the return of a system back through the heat exchanger to maximize your efficiency. So we have a four pass with very large internal tubes with that gives us really good heat transfer. It gives us the heat exchanger is designed for very low pressure drop in a water tube design. And it really maximizes your efficiency. On the boiler side, we're 97% efficient. And on that's a thermal. And then on the water heating side, we're 98. So we're extremely high. We have a 10-to-1 turndown combustion system with BlueJet technology, which I'll go over. We have numerous venting options and configurations available for venting, because venting is always a challenge, especially here in the Northeast, where we do a lot of retrofit. And we see that there is a lot of challenges when you take out an existing boiler to get the vent up in the middle of a building, or try to get it peripherally. And then you have to deal with the aesthetics, which are can be a challenge. So we have a lot of experience in that. And John and I have worked together on multiple jobs. If there's been any questions or things, I've worked with them to kind of design around those issues. So we're very sensitive to that. We understand what issues can happen as far as venting. We have a dual condensate collection system, and I'll kind of go over what that does and why that's important. We have a nice 7-inch touchscreen display. And we also have built-in Wi-Fi with every boiler. We can actually go into a job. We can connect up to the Wi-Fi in the building, and we can monitor the boiler. We offer that as a free service for the first year. If the customer chooses, some customers don't for various reasons. Some customers will take will allow us to connect up. And then the contractor can get warnings if there is an issue on a cell phone, basically by signing up. It's pretty easy to do. We have people here that can walk you through it. And if there's an issue that occurs with the shutdown, or you want to monitor the boiler when, you know, at certain times of the day, you can actually see how the boiler's operating, how efficient it's operating. And it's really nice for startup, because sometimes you have issues with relays and other things that just create a lot of problems with customers. And, you know, it might not be anything with the boiler. It could be other things that you want to see what's happening. And then you can monitor flows and other things with the Wi-Fi that we have. So the nice thing about this, too, is that the screens are comparable. So what we have on the boiler screens with its multiple outputs is the same thing we have on the Wi-Fi when you connect up. We also have a rugged cabinet with a lot of service built in. We designed this. One thing I always stress to my engineers is, you know, imagine you going into this building 10 years from now and trying to get at a sensor, or trying to get at a bolt, or trying to get at anything in a boiler. And a lot of these pieces of equipment that are designed, I look at them, you have to stand on ladders, you have to do other things in order to facilitate maintenance. And that becomes a big cost for the building owners. So what we try to do is we try to get and look at the serviceability of our equipment, minimizing the amount of different tools you need, maximizing the ability of the customer to get at all sides of the boiler. You'll see that in the cabinet. And then we have a 10-year warranty with online registration and 5-year on the VWH for commercial use. The heat exchangers, as you can see here, we have 7 different sizes, all the way from 400 to 2 million BTUs. You can kind of get an idea here of the inside of the boiler. You can see here there's a back, you can see there's a baffle with a target wall. So the gases basically travel in this direction, go down and come back. The water goes in the reverse flow. So we bring the return water back from the system, and then we go out this port for our supply to the system, trying to get as much heat transfer as we can. This gives you a little bit better idea, kind of gives you a better cross-section of the forepass and what we're talking about there. You can see off the burner, we come through the first section, and we go to the second section, we go down, then we go through the third section on the return side, and then the fourth section before we vent the cool gas. So normally we are within 5 degrees F of whatever the return water temperature is in normal operation. And you can see that we have a sensor in the back, so you can actually monitor what your actual flue temperatures are. But everything is based on return temperatures. If your return temperature is, efficiencies are going to be lower. If your return temperatures are lower, your efficiencies are going to be much higher. So it's amazing how much heat transfer we can get out of these blocks. From the small little water tubes that we had years ago with the Munchkin from day one when we did condensing, to what we have here on the CLX design, there with its larger tubes and its better flow path, makes a significant difference in the design for commercial use. And then we have the larger tubes, as I mentioned. You can see here with the different pressure drops, we give you 40, 30, 20, and you can see the different designs, and you can see how low that pressure drop is based on comparable flow rates you would need in order to achieve those deltas on the boilers. Same thing on the VWH. VWH, you can see, helps when you get into the stainless steel pumps, which are more pricey, obviously, than you would have with a standard cast iron pump. But you can see that the flow rates and the resistance you get through the heat exchanger are very minimal for the size boilers we're talking about here. And then on the, so when you look at the heat exchanger and you look at the design of the heat exchanger, it's really robust. We have a very nice door, burner door that's in the front. On the smaller units between the 400 and the 400,000 BTU and the million, we have a flapper, silicone flapper. This allows us to do direct vent. On the bigger boilers, we add a automatic damper on the 1.5 to the 2 million that can be adapted in the job on the return to shut off any effluence of combustion that would flow through the heat exchanger when you have multiple units in a cascade loop. You can see here on the bigger units, we have this this big carriage. This carriage allows for maintenance of combustion system, which is really easy to get at. It's not that long in length. So if somebody goes needs to go in there 4 years, 5 years down the road and vacuum out any particulates from dust, dirt, whatever it might be, they can go inside the boiler and actually just, there's a door, it actually hinges out. You can actually look at the electrodes. So from a servicing perspective, it gives you a lot of nice flexibility. When you look at other high efficiency boilers, to try to do something like this is a major undertaking because of just the AC fans that they use. They're massive, they're heavy, and the combustion systems are very, very big. This is very lightweight. It comes on its own rail and tracking system that allows the customer to easily service the equipment. And on the small units, they're so lightweight, you can just take the bolts off of here and then simply pull it out. You got your viewing window, and you know, it's just it's a nice setup. So some of the things in the combustion system, we have a 10 to 1 turn down. So example, 400,000 can go down to 40. We have a direct spark high voltage transformer, or standard equipment, this Honeywell transformer. The reason why that's important is when you get into areas where it gets really cold, or you get into propane installations. Propane, even though the volatility of propane is twice that of natural gas, it's a damn difficult system or a damn difficult fuel to ignite. And you would think it would be the inverse, but it actually creates additional challenges in a premix system. So the hotter the ignition source is, the better off you are. And it allows for much smoother ignition. This boiler, when it lights, you won't even hear it, especially with the burner that we have, which I'm going to cover for you. But we use this transformer on all the sizes. It gives us a reliable ignition source. We use a flame probe for flame recognition. We have a very high rectification current that allows for great flame stability, monitoring, and reliability, even when you develop oxides on a electrode over time. Another thing what we did too is because we wanted to make the boiler space as small as possible, we created this and patented this air straightener that you see here. So instead of just bringing air into a box and going right into a fan, it creates a lot of turbulence. It created some ignition noise. We created this honeycomb air straightener, which allows the unit to get a much better laminar flow into the boiler, the blower itself, and allows for really good mixing. And so when you look at the burner, burners are designed, and really the most important part about a burner is when you see in the length of the burner, as the burner gets longer, it becomes more challenging to get a very stable flame like you see here. The longer the burner is, the more challenging it is to get a very uniform stable height on your flame. And the reason why that's important is we don't want any hot spots on the surface of this burner. Because when you go to 10 to 1, where you really got to be careful is on the lower end of the modulation, not on the top end. When this boiler runs on, when this burner runs at its top end, this surface is really cool. When you run it down to the low, where you're running almost radiant just off of the top of the burner, it'll get much hotter. So this burner, as you can see up here, it has injectors, and then it's got some lances on the side here, where the flame comes across. And the reason why that's important is it really, from a metal burner standpoint, it keeps the flame, it keeps the surface of the burner very cool at very low turndowns. And this burner is actually designed for a 20-to-1. We only take it to 10-to-1, which makes it even more stable and more, you know, it'll give you long-term quality of the burner. And another thing is, you know, a lot of people are using mesh, and we use mesh in certain products too. But the one nice thing about this, this will be less susceptible to clogging if you have very dirty environments or the outside air is dirty for some reason. A lot of times we'll get into concrete plants, or we'll get into areas where there's a lot of dust and dirt with roads for whatever reason. And that gets into the burner and it starts clogging these surfaces, and then it creates some instability here. This is a lot more forgiving. And then you can see the turbulator here, where we're trying to mix the gas even further to get a better laminar flow of the flame and stability of the flame long term. And one of the things also is it's very low in emissions. That's the beauty of this. It's been designed, it's patented, and it's a metal burner that can give you some very, very low emissions, almost as low as what you would see with a fiber mesh burner. And then on the gas valves, we use on the 400 and 500 a SIT valve. These are pneumatic valves. They're pretty much standard in the industry. From our residential all the way to our commercial, we use pneumatic, and we use a polyduro mixer on everything. The reason why we do that is the mixer is extremely, extremely reliable. It has no motors. It's just a mechanical lift, and it has two injectors, which I'll show you. But the pneumatics are very reliable. They've been used in the industry for years and years and years. We don't have these sophisticated combustion systems where you have two blowers and you have, different types of valves trying to maintain the combustion stability. We stay with very traditional, user-friendly pneumatic systems on the gas valve, where you have a throttle and offset. And as you can see here, we can actually, you know, we put these low and high gas pressure switches where states require them on the gas valves. The mixer, you can see here, the mixer is basically, this is the mixer here. We've used them in residential. We've been using them for about 5 years. This is probably the most stable mixer I've seen in the industry. When I first saw it, I fell in love with it. We were used to using the Honeywells, which is the standard cone that you would see. These mixers, the beauty of these mixers is they create pressure drop by having flappers in here. And then they have injectors on the bottom and another injector on the top. So the way it works is when you're running at very low fan speeds, the air goes into this section first. And so what it does is it gives you good resolution, which allows your CO2, your CO, and your combustion to maintain very stable. But it also, the key from a design standpoint, is it allows you to maintain very low pressure drop in your system. In all hydronic systems, whether it's the water side or the air side, there's challenges, because if you have a lot of pressure drop on your air side, that means you have to use a bigger fan, a more expensive fan. You have to have a fan that gives you lift as far as inches to overcome the pressure drop. And so all these add up. And this mixer, the way it's designed, gives us very good stability by allowing the air to flow at low fire just through this with a good resolution to our valve. And then there's a flapper here. It's hard to see, obviously, but there's just a little flapper that just opens up as we start to create more vacuum. The flapper just opens up and then allows gas to come in at that on that bottom area where my pointer is. And that's it. Makes it really, really simple. So on the venting side, we can vent a long way. We can even go further if you have jobs where you need to go. Like on the 400, 500, and you need to go further than that 125, we can go up to 6 inch. And then on the bigger units, 8, and then the real big units, 10 inch. And so if you have any issues with vent links, please call us and I'll work with John to work around your issues that you have to come up with the best configuration for your job. A lot of times we'll have guys that I'll get in jobs and they'll see that they put, you know, they'll put cans in a mechanical room. They'll do things that'll add expenses with switches and things. And I get, you know, I get to talk to them about the job and the guys that I work with. And I say, you know, just give me a call. I can look at your venting and see if there's ways we can get around some of the problems, because you can draw inside air if you need to for combustion, you know, as long as you meet the requirements of the open space and the amount of cubic feet of air we require for our systems. Or you can go two pipe, and you can go horizontal on the peripheral of a building and then go straight up vertical with your vent. So there's a lot of options we can work with you on there. John is very well versed in premix technology and venting issues. So this just kind of gives you some of the drawings and some of the venting configurations we can do with our systems. Let me just see if here. And then we can do the cascade. As you can see, we can do up to 8 boilers in a cascade. And you could draw your air from the side and then vent vertically. And if you have some questions about sizing, we can work with you on the sizing of a cascade system. The thing that we recommend, or we actually don't recommend, we make it mandatory, is with all cascade systems, we like to see combustion CO meters in the mechanical room. It's just belt and suspenders. So if something goes wrong, we want to make sure that's a safe environment for a contractor to provide service long-term and make sure that it's a safe environment long-term for the maintenance of these cascade systems. The condensate trap, we have a really nice condensate trap. When you get in the commercial boilers, obviously because of the amount of BTUs, you're going to flow a lot of condensate. It's in the manual that tells you how much you generate. I don't remember those numbers off the top of my head, but these boilers will generate condensate. And so we like to always, we recommend that you use PVC pipe when you go to install your condensate drain. You can see here we have a 3/4. It's a sweat connection, so it's easy to pipe. And then on the bigger units, we go up to 1 inch. And then we've got a clean-out port that you can see right here that allows you to go ahead and go in there periodically when you're doing maintenance and then vacuum any of the materials that might be in the condensate trap long-term. And then we have a float switch, which protects the block from any backup just in case that does occur. And on the secondary trap, we actually trap what's coming in before it even gets back into the block. This eliminates issues of the acidity of the condensate coming from the venting system sometimes with PVC and other things. So it allows us to trap that condensate and then go into the same condensate trap that we use off of the block itself. So it helps us, because a lot of installations will have guys will use pipe dope, they'll use things to prime the pipe, and we just don't want that getting into the block long-term with the stainless steel. On the control, we have a 7-inch full screen, Wi-Fi is provided standard with all units, and then we have a lot of fault indicators for the pump, the system pump, boiler pump, DHW, freeze protection. We have switches, on-off switches, password protected at various levels when you go to set your system up. We got outdoor reset with indirect priority that you can vary the timing on if you want to. And we have a multiple 120-volt outputs for the boiler pumps that are there, three of them. And then we have a 0 to 10-volt input from a building management system. So if you have a building management system, you can supply a voltage, which basically will mirror the outdoor reset curve that you set if you were to use outdoor reset versus having an input from a building management system. And it'll reset the boiler temperatures automatically. And then we have boiler output regulation. If you need to adjust your boiler output for whatever reason, You can do that. You can always go down. We obviously can never go up above the rated output that we specify on the boiler rating plate, but you can obviously regulate it down if you want to. And then we have a nice field wiring connection for the various inputs and outputs. And then we have cascade wiring. So if you have multiples, you would use our 485 connections in order to link the boilers. It's really easy to do and set them up. There's just two functions that you have to program. One's got to be the master, and then the followers are program from I think it's from zero to seven. And then we have some dry contacts for alarm outputs if the customers require that. And then we can cascade up to eight boilers. So this gives you an idea of the screens. These screens are really, really nice on the boiler. They'll tell you your flue temperature, your supply, your delta between your supply and return. It'll tell you your flame current and what your minimum flame current value should be. So when you're monitoring your combustion system, you can actually see this remotely and you can see, okay, I'm looking at my flame current when I first started it up last year. My flame currents were pretty strong on light off and they pretty much continued right to high fire. And so really, I don't think I need to go back there. I don't need to really clean the electrodes. It seems like the system is running really clean. And you'll see that because different environments, different gases will give you different maintenance requirements. You know, I've seen it. I've been in this business all my life. And I've seen certain jobs where, for some reason, whether it's the air coming into the boiler, its environment that it's in, and even the gas quality can create issues, especially on propane. But it gives you the ability to monitor your set point, what your modulation is. There's certain resets you can do remotely also with our Wi-Fi. And then you can monitor temperatures. Up here, you can do your boiler settings, your DHW settings. By just taking your finger, you can maneuver your outdoor reset curve and then reset it. It's really simple. Over here, you can see you have a nice illustration of your cascade and how that's operating with your total load and then your connected boilers, how they're modulating in a startup. And then you have a graph here where you can graph. A lot of guys, some of the guys will use this on startup where they can graph what's happening in increments of 5-minute increments, 1-minute increments, and it gives them the ability to see, you know, what their supply and return temperatures as they start to turn zones on. They're purging the system. They're doing other things that they might need in a job. So there's a lot of things that people can use. The electronics and the advancement of this type of technology is going to become greater and greater over time. Just like we're having this meeting on Wi-Fi. When we're forced to do stuff, we start to see that the technology is pretty reliable and it works really well. I think even with boilers, you'll start to see this more and more with Wi-Fi capabilities. We've got it from our residential boilers now all the way to our commercial, and we don't charge for this feature at all. It's a part of the price. So this is kind of the Wi-Fi for contractor maintenance, for building and property managers, and technical support. So if we run into a problem, we can connect up to the boiler, arrange it. If the customer doesn't want us going in for whatever reason, but they have a problem, we can connect up for a short period of time and then take it off after we're done just to monitor the boiler, make sure everything's going good with our techs at the factory here to support. Whether it's the building owner, whether it's the contractor, even with John getting involved from time to time, this is a really, really good feature. And you're going to, like I said, you're going to start seeing this as more and more common on all pieces of equipment. And then the cabinets I was mentioning earlier, you can see here, we give full access. We have four doors. We have on some models, it's two doors. And then we have these nice adjustable casters with wheels on them. And these casters can actually be manually, even on our big boilers, you can manually do it with your fingers to level the boiler out on a boiler pad or concrete to get it level and to pitch it correctly. The warranty, we have the basic warranty on the boilers and VWH was 1 year of parts, 5 year on the pressure vessel. And with just an with the warranty registration, you can extend the pressure vessel to the 6 and 10. It can be easily replaced. We have phenolic fittings on there and the boiler block can easily be replaced without touching anything else within the block itself. So that's one really nice feature commercially we can do if there's ever an issue down the road that the boiler block has to be changed. And these are just some of the technical specs that you can see here, your minimum, maximum for fire, your flue, how it's categorized, your min, your max, venting, your dimensions, your gas supply ranges from 3.5 to 14 inches. Power supply, and just some of the things on the safeties and what our ignition is and burner system. We have specs, we have submittals, everything's on the web that you would need in order to specify this on a particular job. And just some more on the technical side, standard stuff, supply and return, gas inlet, the screen, the main control, temperatures of the relief valve and things of that nature. The heat exchanger is, I should note that both units, both the VWH and the boiler, the heat exchanger has a ASME pressure vessel rating of 160 PSI. So the heat exchanger is very, very impressive. And you can see dimensionally the size of the unit. The size is very compact. You can see where your connections, the connections come off of the back, very easily to pipe, easy to configure on the venting side off the back of the unit. And then the bigger unit. We didn't have the drawing on the 1,000,005, but the 1,000,005 and the 2,000,000. All the boilers, in this size are the same size, and then the 400 and the 1,000,000. It's just that they just get smaller in length. As you get more BTUs, it gets longer. Dimensionally, everything else is the same. And it kind of gives you, this just gives you an outline of the amount of components. One thing you'll notice in our boilers is the wiring, the whole setup of what we have is the burners, blowers very easy to get at, gas valve adjustments, unions, flexible pipe. We do everything from the standpoint of serviceability and ease to add switches if you need them, high and low gas pressure switches, high limits, even on the manifold. You can see our two manifolds. Here's the back. This is on the return side. This is the supply. And we have sensors that are really easy to get at. And there's phenolic fittings there where if you ever had to take the block, you could take the block right out and then just take the blower out. It's really, really simple. Just another look of what we have here inside the boiler from the 400,000 to the 1,000,000 and the 1,000,000. 1,000,005 to the 2,000,000. This gives you an idea of our field connection board. You can see the fuses we have here, your pump connections, you can see some of our ground spades there for grounding, and then our power input we have for the unit itself. And this is your alarm contacts going out. On the bigger units, we actually have LEDs on the pumps for operation, so the customer can actually go in and see if the pump is activated. You'd see it on the screen anyways, but we added it to the board on this design because it was a much larger requirement for the 2,000,000. And then the piping configurations, we can basically do primary, secondary. We can work off of indirects with the low turndown. We can do cascade. We can actually go, we don't have to do primary, secondary. You can do direct piping into the loop. Unfortunately, this PowerPoint didn't have that drawing, but John can supply that to you without a problem. So you can go primary, secondary, or go direct. You can go variable speed. The nice thing about our boilers is inside, we have one of our safeties is we have a flow switch, and the flow switch has a very unique resolution. Most flow switches, when you get into large turndowns, they're unreliable when you get down to the low flow. So a prime example is in our 400, you know, when we get down to 40,000 BTUs, we're going to be around the 4 3-gallon per minute flow rate, but depending on if you had a variable speed system, our flow switch will actually make to maintain the operation of the system, and then will obviously break if it gets lower than that or something happens to the pump. So that's a really unique feature. We use a Sentinel. It's a German flow switch that we got them to design for this boiler, and it works really well. Flow switches on this type of equipment to me are really good safety for the water side. And with the variable flow component, we had to make sure we could get down to those low levels by still maintaining the safety aspect of the flow switch on the boiler. And then VWH, this is where we have a storage tank. Here's you got your VWH, and you're basically connected to a tank. We have sensors you can use. We can use mechanical switches. We can run, if you don't have the ability, in some jobs we've done, they had no sensors in the tank at all. And what we do is we put a sensor on the pipe in order to maintain the temperatures, and the pumps have to run 24/7. But they will actually maintain temperature and fire based on a drop from the set point or the target temperature that the customer wants. So there's a number of different ways we can set these things up to give you a lot of hot water and good temperature accuracy. And then you can cascade with these too, which is really nice from a design standpoint for large commercial buildings. What's included in the box? Outdoor sensor. On the VWH, you wouldn't have it. We have screens, which are all stainless steel, to put in the venting tees that you would use in your installation. Installation manual, CSD1 forms for the inspectors, H3 data form, which is for the inspector. Pre-installed in the boiler is the doggle, Wi-Fi doggle, flow switch. And we also, I forgot to mention, we have standard, which is not, it's built into the boiler, is a UL353 with test buttons on the screens. So if an inspector wants to verify its operation, it's easy to do. And we haven't had any issues. So you don't need the traditional ones that you have outside the boiler that you wire either into the power or some low voltage contact that they'd have on a boiler. On ours, it comes with it. And then we have all the optional equipment you can have, whether it be pipe sensors, indirect sensors, high and low gas pressure switches. We even offer the old manual reset mechanical if the inspector will not allow what we have. We have high limits on our boiler, but sometimes they want the reset button. They want the mechanical that they can turn it down. We can supply it. We have a port that's easily wired in. And then all these options have pigtails in the boiler. We have pigtails, and we supply these all pre-wired. So the contractor just threads it in, puts it in, plugs it together, and it's ready to go. From a quality standpoint, we really take a lot of pride in our production lines, and Ariston has really upped our game even more, challenged us more. We've seen some of the things that they've done, and so we do 100% verification of every product that leaves here. It takes quite a bit to run these boilers to measure CO2. We pressurize it. We do low voltage and line voltage outputs on all what's available on the board. We've done life cycle testing. One of the things we did with Ariston, and they make us do on all equipment now, is we do remote testing. So we'll install these in the field and a test site. We can physically monitor what the boiler's doing. We go in and regularly check the boilers. So with Wi-Fi, it's really changed the way companies release and look at equipment. Where before we used to put equipment in the field and we'd have to visit the site every so often. It really wasn't a very good way to see how equipment was holding up. And with the remote capability now, it gives us the ability at any point in time to go in and see how the system's monitoring. We can actually log files in. We have the ability to do that, so we can look from a time perspective what's happening with flame current, other things of that nature. And one other thing I wanted to mention that we are developing on our system to enhance our servicing is we're developing what we call the black box. And the black box allows us to go in. If there's a fault code, you would go in remotely. You could click on what the fault code is. And we would tell you, you would have an option to look at the fault code either 5 minutes prior to the event, 10 minutes prior to the event, and record and see what happened as before the boiler faulted. Perfect example is, let's say for whatever reason, a relay on a boiler or on a pump didn't allow the pump to activate. And all of a sudden we see our boiler operating, and then all of a sudden the pump drops out for whatever reason, and we see a real quick spike in temperature. We know it's got to be flow related. It's interesting because when the engineers get in these jobs, we've done some really big jobs locally here. One was six 2 million BTU boilers, and some of the things that happened other than our boiler in that job that created problems, our guys would be on the phone with the maintenance guy prior to the people in the building even realizing they didn't even have heat, or they didn't have a problem, or they had some type of a problem. So when customers start to see the capabilities of this stuff and the remote remote connection, it's really, really impressive. These are the models that we have available, and then we're developing what we call our, we'll have two of these modules in one cabinet that'll give us redundancy valves on those two. And that'll give us even more turndown. Those will be 20 to 1 with the same technology we have. So that'll be our future development. But you can see up here what we have available today. And then any information you need, we got a lot of resources. Obviously, John is one of your resources, but we have a lot of documents that you can get from the web with regards to specs, warranty, whatever you need. It's on our website. And then we have storage tanks. If you need them for your VWH, we go up to 175 gallon ASME certified, which are nice. A lot of guys will put them in tandem for, whether it's restaurants, whether it's gymnasiums, things of that nature. And it also helps facilitate them, get them into tight areas or areas that are a lot more difficult to get them into buildings. That happens frequently. And then we've got the stainless steel storage tanks. And then we get into the barrel big stuff. So we can facilitate, John can facilitate, bare tanks up to 5,000 gallons or 1,500 gallons. So any of those particular jobs that you have where you need to do a complete sizing, John's very capable of doing that, working with our people to assist from the tank all the way through to the boiler and the pump sizing. Okay, I wanted to leave a little bit of time. I finished 7 minutes prior. So hopefully if there's, let's see what questions, if any. John, do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I have a few questions, some of which people sent me as well as my own.
Okay.
The first one is phenolic connections. Can you go into that a little bit more in detail?
Yeah, on the boiler, there is two, there's a supply and return with a groove coming out of the boiler, and we have phenolic connections there where we have on the header, the opposite, we have a groove, and it's just a clamp that with a rubber, basically a rubber boot, that secures the connection to the boiler. And it makes it real easy to, for any long-term maintenance that needs to happen on the boiler, meaning if you had to take the boiler out or if there was a leak, you could easily get at it and take it out completely without touching the manifold system at all.
Is it like the EPDM O-rings or something like that inside the connection in there?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, that sounds like the ModCon. All right. Let's see. There's another question here, a little lengthy. Is there a minimum flow rating for primary only variable flow operation?
Yes, in the manual you'll see the minimum flow rates for each size. They're outlined in the product manual, what those minimum flows are.
Is that based on the 40 degree delta, or is it even greater than that?
I think it's based on a 30, 35. I'd have to double check that, John.
I just sort of
But we get down pretty low. We get down pretty low. I think on our 400, we get down to almost 3 gallons a minute, I think, is how low we get.
All right, next question. How is the primary air to gas ratio maintained throughout the 10-to-1 turndown?
The ratio is maintained within that mixer. That mixer allows, so there's injectors in each side. So on the top and the bottom, there's injector, and then there's that flapper. So how that's maintained, when the flapper opens up is the only time you'll see, and it the way the guys set them up and the way it's designed is we have to run through the whole fan modulation rate in 500 RPM increments. We have to trace the CO2, you know, as we start to run the boiler. And there'll be a spike when that flapper opens up, but it's only 1%. So like on natural gas, if your CO2 value should be anywhere between 9, your range would be 9.2 to 8.8. When that flapper starts to move, when we get to the, when we start injecting the bottom end of, when we start injecting more fuel on the bottom end, you'll see a quick spike. I mean, it has no impact on the burner. And that'll jump up to about 10% for a very short period of time, and then it'll lean right back down to where it's supposed to be. So the ratio is maintained by the flapper and the injectors and the mixing of the burner and the burner head itself. But we burn extremely extremely cool. We have very low emissions. Our CO2 are very, very uniform. It's an extremely stable combustion. Of all the boilers we've ever built, this one to me is probably the most stable, without a doubt.
I know in the past we had the amount of fuel being injected in was based on the RPM of the blower. Is that different here?
No, it's the same. But what happens is like that mixer divides, and we have those two injectors. It divides how much of a resolution you have. So the way to explain it is that if you took a traditional mixer that's just a hole like this, in order to get really good turndown with a small hole, you've got to really increase your fan. You've got to really increase and there's a lot of pressure drop. Flapper, it allows you to have very good stability throughout the combustion, throughout the combustion or turndown sequence without having very high spikes. And it gives you really good stability through the whole modulation range. And you'll see it with these mixers. When we got them from the residential, which we've used for 5 years, I'm telling you, when they came out with this, it was the best development of premix technology I've seen. It's the number one development I think has happened since I've been in the business. I mean, it's really ingenious. You're seeing everybody go with them on residential, and we're using them on the commercial side now because of their reliability. And when you go into these jobs, you'll see that the combustion stays right on pretty much from day one.
Okay, another question. Across what range can the boiler be tuned for turndown? In other words,
Normally, like any pneumatic system, you run high and low. Your high, you would adjust your offset. I mean, your low, you adjust the offset a little bit if you needed to. On these boilers on natural gas, guys, I don't think you're going to need to touch anything. You're going to fire them up, and there's going to be virtually no adjustment. The only time we see adjustments is when you get into high altitude a little bit, where you might need to tweak the system, or an LP. You know, LP can be finicky sometimes, and sometimes you need to adjust your CO2 levels a little bit. But I would recommend put them in, run them high, run them low, put your meters in, monitor them, and if you're in line, don't touch a thing. Leave them alone, because you can create problems by making too much adjustment sometimes on pneumatic systems.
The engineer has a lot more questions. We're going to respond to those in writing later, Dave, so we can move on to some other questions. Let's see, back net, you want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, we do have a Modbus BACnet adapter that can be purchased separately. It's a very, John knows, he's used them. They apply to even our old 926, but they apply to the new 928, which is in this board, this unit. Just to let you guys know, we've used our equipment for years. You know, we had the 925, we went into the 926, and the 926 basically has a transformer on it, where the newer technologies, everything's switch mode. So we have that on the 928, which does not require a transformer anymore. It can operate on 110 volt. So we do have the ability through the RS-45, we have a connector where you can hook up a building management system without a problem, or a Modbus, and we have a little switch. And then we have the registers right in the manuals how to set them up for the building guys.
What's our rated NOx levels?
Oh, God. Off the top of my head, John, I don't have that.
All right, get back to me later on that.
Yeah, they're low. They're within the requirements of Squawkman, let's put it that way. But I can get you the actual numbers.
Greg is asking if the controls show gallons per minute, and I assume it does.
The control does not show you gallons per minute.
Okay.
Because that would be a flow meter, especially when you're getting up to 100 gallons a minute. That's a hell of a flow meter you would have in there, especially, you know, the more GPM you have, the higher, the more difficult, even at the low end with that modulation range. So we don't have a flow meter in the boiler or an output for a flow meter at this point.
Greg, I can handle that separately with a different product. Hard water, are we taking any precautions for flow rates to make sure for VWHs, volume water heating, for hard water applications?
Hard water, we recommend you run them at a 20 degree delta, and we recommend if you get into really, really hard water conditions that you maintain a temperature output no greater than 160 degrees F, or you have to put some type of filtering system in there to minimize the lime impact on the heat exchanger. We do have post-purge on the VWH. We recommend that you definitely do that to stabilize the temperature in the block afterwards. Hardness is an impact of temperature. The higher the temperature, the worse we're going to get from a liming perspective. But we have very large tubes, good flow characteristics with this boiler. And with a large post purge on the unit, some 20 degree flow rate with a 5 minute post purge, right, it shouldn't be a problem.
I noticed that the high limit is available to 185, even on volume water heating. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Yep.
So we just have to follow those procedures to try to minimize clogging of the heat exchanger.
Yes.
Okay. Anything on seismic as far as mounting?
I know you always ask this question, John, and I always, right now we do not have a seismic rated strapping at this point. That's something that would have to be field installed, but there's plenty of places to lag the boiler down.
Yeah, we did not have an issue with that on our latest installation, but I just want to know if you had one.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
We do have racks too, by the way. We're coming out with racks, so you can double stack these too.
All right. It's 10 o'clock. I have a, there's a few more questions that the engineer who had to go left, and I'll deal with these with Dave separately, unless people want to have us answer them. Let's see. I guess I'll just read them off, and if it takes too long, we'll just move on and deal them separately, but I'll just read them off. Let's see. What is remote DDC input for resetting the supply water temperature? You know, that'd probably be just 0 to 10.
Yeah, 0 to 10. Yep. Yep.
Is the internal control operating on supply water temperature control or return water?
The internal, it's basically working off of what the delta T and how close we're riding to set point. So if we have a low flow condition but a wide delta T, snow melt, for example, and we have restriction for whatever reason, we don't want the boiler to jump off the ground. So we watch both the delta, and then we watch how quickly we're coming to the target set point to modulate the boiler down. It's the way it works.
I think another way of saying it is when we get to set point, are we comparing that to the return temperature?
So when we get to set point, are we comparing that to the return? I mean, you can run a delta. There's programming in this where you can run a delta. So the boiler will operate and modulate based on a delta through the boiler. Is that what you're asking?
Well, let's say it's 150 degrees Fahrenheit and the return is 140 and creeping up to 150. When does it turn off? When we approach set point?
Oh, it'll shut off about 2 degrees above set point.
And that's based on the return temperature or the supply?
Supply.
Okay. Are there storage tanks available with four connections for primary, secondary separation?
The base storage tanks below the 175 aren't. The larger ones are at the check. I think they can be configured.
Yeah, they can be configured. Okay. Are the tanks available for high, low connection for stratification? You can do whatever you want. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. On the big stuff, you can.
Yeah, on the big stuff.
Right. All right. The small ones are pretty much, like I said, 200 and down or 175 down. They're pretty much configured the way they are.
All right. I believe that, unless anybody else has any other questions, that concludes our presentation. Thank you so much, Dave Davis, for taking time out of the day and giving us the latest on the Elite XL. Arguably the most advanced hydronic and volume water heating boiler on the market.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, guys. I appreciate you taking your time and hope it's been helpful and you understand the equipment better. And like I said, John does a great job, and John will, you know, John, if you have any questions, make sure, let John know and he'll work with you. And John always knows my number and he'll call me.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, guys. See ya.